time prayer, I know there are a few folks we need to be thinking about. Sam McQueen's younger sister, Mary Thompson, passed away, and so Sam and Monica are traveling to Arkansas. Hope that's not me. Okay, it's not. Okay. And then those of you who work in the food pantry will know John Pinchback, John and Tanya. And John's mother passed away, and I believe her funeral was in the last couple of days. But we want to be thinking of John and his family. We want to be thinking of Sam and his family. Are there others that we need to be thinking about in prayer this morning? Marilyn Coyne, okay. Two young people in the past week have been lost at Gina School. And so we want to be thinking of their families. Sarah Baxter, Georgia Silver, Jane Moore, Sue Harvey passed away, your friend, okay. Yes, ma'am.
My niece has a PI.
Your niece has a PI.
She's in a lot of pain.
In a lot of pain.
She had her home from the hospital, but she's...
Okay, let us go to God in silent prayer. Gracious God, we are grateful this morning for your presence and your care. We are grateful that you hear our prayers, that you know our hearts, you know our hopes, you know our feelings, you know our struggles, you know our dreams. God, you have heard from this congregation the names of those who are on our hearts. And we ask that you touch them with your tender, loving hand. Help them to know of your care and your love. God, we also know that there are many things going on in our world that cause us concern. We ask you be with world leaders. We ask that you be with those studying the coronavirus and seeking vaccine and medication to help us. God, we ask that in these times that when we look around us and we see the works of your hands, the beauty of the skies, the majesty of your creation, that we will be reminded that you are God, and that you are present, and your love remains. Bless us now as a congregation, as we continue to worship you this morning, as we open our hearts in prayer and song, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we hear a message from your word. Enlighten us. Help our steps to be just a bit lighter when we leave here than they were when we came. God, we offer all of these things in your Son's name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As disciples, we are privileged to come to the Lord's table. The table is the focal point of our worship together. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it. He said, take and eat, for this bread is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, he blessed it, and said, this cup is the blood of the new covenant, poured out on the cross for you. As often as you drink this cup, do so in remembrance of me. We as disciples of Christ today know that not only are we showing forth the death of Christ in this table, but also the resurrection. Through our very lives, we show forth the life of Christ every day to the world around us, to our family, to our neighbors, our friends, those maybe we're struggling with. But this table is about life. It's about love. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you mindful of the tremendous sacrifice that Jesus made for us, but also filled with joy and hope because Jesus overcame death and lives today, and we know we live today as well in him. Please bless this bread and bless this cup. May it nourish our spirits in ways that we'll know as we move throughout this week and remember. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You'll find the elements on the pews in front of you.
Our scripture this morning is taken from the 11th chapter of Luke, verses 11 through 13. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, knows how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Well, I was counting this morning. Do you know that we have 5 ordained ministers in our congregation? And I believe there are 3 of them here today. So if anything happens up here to me, I've got 3 other people who are willing to just jump up and take over. Last week, I heard my husband tell somebody that I had taught junior high for 20 or 30 some odd years. So if I shouldn't have any trouble standing up here talking to y'all. Well, what he didn't say was, in junior high, I'm used to kids, you know, throwing paper wads across the room or passing notes or even sleeping during class. So feel free to do that. Sleep, throw paper wads, anything to make me feel more relaxed up here. Also, last week, I was looking at Ron. Is that you back there? Ron had his lid on. I think you had it on today when you took... he has his Panama hat. He has his lid on. That's where we got the title for today's sermons. I was looking at some of James's caps that he has. How many of you have at least one cap at home? How many of you have between 2 and 5 caps at home? Ooh, how many of you have more than that at home? Wonderful. Well, I brought some of James's today to show you. And these are only a few of his. Well, now this one's his work out in the yard in the summer hat. This is his going for a walk in the winter hat. Oh, this one's self-explanatory. You can't watch a ball game without your hat on. Oh, let's see what else he's got here. This is a hat that my daughter gave him, so whenever we go to Firehouse Subs, he has to wear this hat. These are only a few of the caps that he has. The thing is I'll throw away half of them and he'll never notice. Men insist on wearing a lot of hats. I believe that they're symbolic of how busy and hectic their lives are as husbands, as fathers, as grandfathers, and just as men. You don't even have to have children of your own to be a father. All you have to do is show interest in a child or mentor a child in some way, and you are a father to that child. Although men do wear a lot of caps, even though men have a lot of hats, I believe that the one gift they need today is another cap. The cap allows a father who is investing in their lives of children. I'm talking about the psychological power that comes from being a father. Without certain characteristics they provide, children don't receive the balance and emotional strength they need for the future. A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he first finds God in his father. So I think the first cap you could give your father today would be a cap of correction and discipline. Proverbs 3:11-12 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in." Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." The emphasis isn't on I'm right and you're wrong, but rather the emphasis on knowing what is truly right. And he desires his child to walk in that direction. Our actions of correction are to emulate the Lord. The command is given over and over in the scriptures for fathers to correct their children. Even if it seems like, as my junior high students, even if it feels like the children are not listening. Let men wear the cap of correction, knowing it's by God's design that we correct our children. Discipline teaches consequences, and the best way to leave consequences and to learn it is to from those that love you most than to learn them when you're out in the world amongst people who don't care about you, as the prodigal son did. There's a story about a boy who had just gotten his learner's permit, and he asked his father for use of the car. The father said, "I'll make you a deal. You bring your grades up, you read the Bible every day, and you cut your hair, and then we'll talk about it again." Well, after about a month, the boy went to his father again asking for use of the car. The father said, "Well, I'm really proud of you. I noticed that you brought your grades up, you read your Bible every day, but you still haven't cut your hair." The boy replied, "Well, Father, Samson had long hair, Moses had long hair, Noah had long hair, even Jesus had long hair." The father said, "Yes, but they walked everywhere." The second cap that I think a father needs is a cap of advising and teaching. In Proverbs 4, it says, "When I was a boy in my father's house, he taught me and said, 'Lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commandments, and you will live.'" The father's name goal is not only to correct, but to advise and to teach their children. It's not intended to make the father look smarter. It's intended to teach and advise them of what the father knows is up ahead. Deuteronomy says, "Be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. These commandments I give you, you are to be upon their hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Do you remember when you were a child playing with your shadow? Sometimes as you walk along, it was in front of you. Sometimes it was in back of you. When I was young, I used to always try to step on my shadow. Couldn't do it. In India, a Brahma will throw away his food if even the shadow of an outcast passes over it. In Acts, it says, "Insomuch as they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." A man's shadow is a symbol of his influence, and this influence can be either good or bad. It's never neutral. A father should be very careful what kind of shadow he casts upon his children, for it either helps that child or it can hurt them. It can build them up or tear them down. As children, we played games with our hands, making little shadow puppets on the wall where the light was behind us. Influence is like that. It's like a ray of sunshine on our lives. Your influence around those and around those that are around you depend upon your relationship to God. The shadow of a father and the good or bad it casts upon the lives of children depends upon that for which he stands. When I mention the name Martin Luther King Jr., what picture comes in your mind? A picture of a man who fought for civil rights, one of the greatest men of our time. When I mention the name Jesse James, what do you see in your mind? You see a man who was an outlaw and a robber and even a murderer. When your neighbor, your child, your friend, your boss hears your name called, what do they think about you? Do they think that you live by high standards, that you love others, that you're trustworthy? What kind of shadow are you casting? Are you teaching your children to walk in the way of God? The third cap I think you could give your father would be the cap of commitment and involvement. What biblical father can you think of that had the most influence in the Bible? He had little money. There are only 5 paragraphs about him in the entire Bible. He had the hands of a working man. He had a heart that loved Jesus. Does anyone know who that person would be? That man is Joseph. Joseph was one of the greatest fathers of all history. Isn't it interesting that when God chose a man to raise his son, it wasn't a super religious man. It was an average working man. God chose Joseph to be the earthly father for Jesus because he knew the heart of Joseph. Joseph took on the task of fatherhood unexpectedly and did it because he believed God. God prepared Joseph for this awesome responsibility. Joseph had been taught well the ways of God and the will of God. He had all the qualities that God wanted for a man who would raise his son. Joseph taught Jesus how to be a good carpenter. He taught him the ways and the will of God. With every cut of the saw, he taught Jesus to be straight and true. As he built beautiful furniture, Jesus was learning how God could make things beautiful out of the very simplest of things. Every time Jesus or Joseph would mash their thumbs with the hammer, Jesus was being taught how to deal with pain. Jesus was taught by Joseph the work of worth and how to react to the hurts of life. We raise our children in love. We trust them with life. As parents, we trust them to God and then we let them go. If we've taught them as Joseph and Mary taught Jesus, we'll always have them. And in their adult years, they will come back to us. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The fourth cap a father needs is the cap of compassion. I'm sure the father of the prodigal son felt all of the emotions that we feel. But what did that father do? Well, the first thing he did was let his son go his own way. After all, he was not a child anymore. There are times when we have to do the same. Another thing the father did was not bail him out of trouble. If more parents would let the consequences of wrong decisions come home to their children, more children would come home and do what is right. The Bible said after the son had hit the bottom, he came to his senses. He was willing to pay a price for his foolishness and become like a hired servant. What kind of reception did he receive? His father didn't say, "You have embarrassed your mother and me. People are talking about you. People in the neighborhood are saying that you have bad parents. I'm going to give you a second chance, and I'm going to give you 6 months probation. If you don't mess up in any way, we'll talk about what we'll do next. Of course, during that time, I'm going to be reminding you of your stupidity and how much you've hurt us." That's not what happened. Instead, the prodigal son's father saw him coming and ran to meet him. He threw his arms around him and forgave him. He didn't say, "I told you so." He didn't preach to him. One afternoon, when a father was cutting grass, his 4-year-old daughter came up to him with a picture that she had drawn, and she asked her father, "Daddy, how do you spell love?" He told her, and she wrote it on the picture and gave it to him. Our children are asking the same question. How do you spell love? Our father tells us to spell it with correction, advising, compassion, commitment, involvement, and trust. So you see, you don't need a different cap for every occasion to be involved in a child's life. All you need is one cap, the cap of love. Happy Father's Day.
Joan, thank you for your message. Your words have blessed us this morning. Thank you. One final opportunity for worship this morning. As you leave, the collection plates are on pedestals just outside the door, and you may feel free to place your contributions, your gifts, in the collection plate at the door. Well, let's see. Anything else we need to say before we wrap this up? Okay. Go now in the grace and the peace and the love of God. May it be so. May it be so.